A morning. Today's daf in Chulin, Sadi Gimel. We're in Sadi Beis Amud Beis. We are going to make good usage today of the picture book. If you have the Tmunei Chol, today is a good day to take a look at it. I'm sure also the Art School Gemaras have excellent pictures as well in terms of helping facilitate understanding. You'll see over the course of this morning, I'm going to give some sort of rough guideline in terms of how to find things in the animal. But my knowledge of the anatomy of the animal is limited. And despite the fact that I was firsthand witness to an excellent dissection, but still I got a lot to learn. In the meantime, however, let's pick it up where we left off yesterday. The discussion was regarding a statement made by Shmuel. In the Mishnah, we had a machlokus regarding the chalev of the shlil. The fats of a fetus inside of the animal. Shmuel made a statement that the chalev is mutter according to everybody. The Gemara yesterday pointed out that you cannot understand this as it was originally presented. Can't be, because it clearly there's a machlokes in Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda. We saw it back in the fourth perek. We revisited yesterday's daf as well. That Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda argue about a fetus inside of the mother, a full-term live fetus inside of the mother. Is it a totally independent entity? That shitas Reb Meir, and so therefore, as an independent entity, it has to get an asher, it has chaylev. It's going to be asher. Mashenkin, according to Reb Yehuda, it is considered just simply an appendage of the mother, and so therefore, it does not have independent identity, and its chaylev is not asher. And the get an usher is not usher. So basically, it's a machlokus. So that can't be what Shmuel meant. So the Gemara says, you're right, that's not what Shmuel meant. Ela chelbo degin. So the Gemara, where we're picking it up, right where we left off yesterday, we are on study Beis Amud Beis. We're halfway down, less than halfway down the Amud. First word in line is Rabbi Yehuda l'shita so, ve'ela. So the Gemara now says, chelbo degin. So the Gemara says, we're talking about the chelv of the gid, miflek pligi ba. The Gemara says, chelv of the gid. So what do you mean we're talking about the chelv of the gid? So the tamachlok is the time you get an ash mechatir achor b'chomakom shu v'chotech shmeino mi'ikaru divra meir. Now, when you go digging for the gid and asher, so how far down do you have to go digging? So, as we pointed out, the sciatic nerve starts off from the spinal column. It is an extension of the spinal cord. It's the conclusion of the spinal cord, and it goes down now into the muscle, into the thigh muscle. And if you want to take a look at a wonderful picture, so you can go to page 98 in Tmunei Chol. And so, basically, we're going to see. Is you're going to see the sciatic nerve, and then you're going to see it take a dive right into the muscle. Now, when it takes a dive into the muscle, so now what? So now do I have to go start digging and hunting? Do I have to now, like, open up the muscle in order to dig in? If you take a look at the next page, 99, so once again, he does a wonderful job now, as he has a scalpel basically cutting open the muscle, and you see now the nerves going into the muscle. So various branches of the nerve heading into the muscle. So now what? So how far down do we have to go? Can I just simply cut the sciatic nerve at the muscle and the rest of it is okay? Or do I have to go digging? And this is a machlokus amongst the Tanaim. And the Gemara now is citing this machlokus. So I'm going to start again. Titania. So according to Reb Meir, happy hunting. So the... not sure how happy it is, but you have to go digging after that. Get an usher. And Rav Yehuda Amar Gomama Imashofi. And Rav Yehuda says no digging necessary. Rav Yehuda just simply says that what you do is you just simply cut the nerve up to the muscle, and then after that point in time you're good. You're good to go. So we just learned together. It's a machlokis hatanaim. How far down do you have to go digging? And so when Shmuel makes a statement that everyone agrees that the chalev is mutter, and we're talking about the chalev of the gid and asher, that's not true. It's a machlokus. So la'olam chalbo de gid umod Shmuel de Reb Meir med Rabban Asr. So the Gemara says, now, truth of the matter is that we're going to defend Shmuel's statement. Shmuel said that according to everyone, it's mutter. Even according to the more stringent viewpoint of Reb Meir, who says that you have to go digging, that's not a din daraisa. That is only a din de Rabbanan. Min ha-Torah, the sciatic nerve that's exposed and not dropped into the muscle, so that part is asher min ha-Torah. Min ha-Torah, everything in the muscle is mutter. What Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are arguing about is there an issur d'rabbanan to have to go dig into the muscle and cut the sciatic nerve that is in the muscle. So Rav Meir Midrabbanan Asa D'Tanya. And how do I know this? Because of a brisa. We saw this brisa yesterday's daf. We're seeing it again now on the end of... Actually, we saw it 2 days ago. We're now seeing it at the end of yesterday's daf. The shamin hagid, the fat of the sciatic nerve. So that's the one that is in the muscle. So it is fundamentally mutter, but Yisrael nagabo isa, but there's a minig Yisrael not to eat it. Now it's interesting. It's a din derabbanan, it's a minig Yisrael. Maybe the two are more or less similar to one another in this context, that the minig maybe is an isa derabbanan. Exactly how to articulate it, not sure, but the Gemara is thrown around both terms, that it's asa mid derabbanan and that's a minig Yisrael. Whatever the case is, according to Rav Meir, what the Gemara is arguing is that according to Rav Meir, it's an Issa D'Rabbanan. Now, the Braisa we just learned together doesn't say that this is the Shita of Rav Meir. The Braisa just simply says that it's really fundamentally mutter, and you saw Kedoshim, the holy Jewish people, have a minig not to eat it. Now, who is the author of this Braisa? So the Gemara suggests, my love Rav Meir, he, Damar Mutter Menatar Vasar Medurabbanan. So I think the author of the Braisa is Rav Meir, and if that's true, so then it coordinates with what we just said within the opinion of Shmuel. Within Shmuel, everyone says it's mutter min haTorah. It's just now a question of, is there a minig not to eat it? Rav Yehuda says there's no minig not to eat it, meaning you're allowed to eat it, and Rav Meir disagrees. And ostensibly, this is now what we're saying is pshat in the Braisa. The Gemara says, I don't know if you're right. Mimai Duma Rav Yehuda hi. So maybe the author of that braisa we just learned together about the minig Yisrael not to eat, the sciatic nerve that's tucked away in the muscle, maybe that is the sheet of Rav Yehuda. Maybe Rav Meir disagrees, and Rav Meir holds what? That it's not a minig not to eat it, it's an issa da araisa not to eat it. Aval Rav Meir mid araisa nami aser. Lo sakadach, the Gemara says, I'm not ready to accept such a pshat. Detanya get anash mechati racher b'chol makom shuv v'shmeinu mutter. So, because I have another braisa. The braisa says that the Gittin Asher, mechatet acharav, you dig in order to get it. And v'shmeinu mutter, and the shaman's going to be mutter. Now, man shaman le'deislei chitita Rav Meir. Now, who says digging in? That's Rav Meir. V'kamer shmeinu mutter, and he's of the opinion that the shaman, that the surrounding fat around the Gittin Asher is in fact going to be mutter. So we are now at a point where we really are only one pshat in the braisa. The braisa says that you have to go digging for the Gittin Asher. That is not a din d'araisa, that's rather but a din d'rabbanan, and it's a, or again, din d'rabbanan, minag Yisrael, right? In this case, those terms may be synonymous, but regardless, the braisa that says that it's a minag not to eat it, that belongs to the sheet of Rav Meir, we positively identified as Rav Meir, not a Rav Yehuda, and so where are we right now? So at the point now where the sciatic nerve that goes from the spinal column and the exposed part that's not yet in the muscle, that is asur min haTorah, clearly. Well, I say clearly, you'll see in just a moment, that too may be open for a bit of a discussion and a debate. But that is asur min haTorah. Then once it makes its dive into the muscle, so now what? So we have a machlokes haTanaim. Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that min haTorah it's mutter. We've just established that according to Rav Meir, he agrees that min haTorah it's mutter. And then a question of, do we have to go digging into the muscle after that sciatic nerve that's in the muscle on a derabbanan level? So Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that there's no need to do so, it's not necessary. And Rav Meir says, no, chatita, you have to go into the muscle and you have to dig out the sciatic nerve from the muscle, right? That's the part of the trabing process according to Rabbi Meir. I'm Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta Amar Rav. Continuing now in the Gemara, lo asur Torah ela kenoknos shabo. So the Gemara now brings in a machlokas amaraim in terms of which parts of the sciatic nerve are asur. As I already commented a number of times, I made this quip a couple of times, and that is, how good is the sciatic nerve? Well, we already know, again, I have no personal experience, you know that, but we already know that regarding the sciatic nerve, it's not something that's totally edible, meaning it's nerve. It's not meat, it's not muscle. If it cooks, does it soften? I don't know. You know, right? Just full disclosure, I have no idea. But it's hard and it's not that particularly edible. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav that when the Torah asurs the sciatic nerve, so what parts are asur? So kenoknos. Again, if you take a look at page 99 in Tumen Echol, so you're going to see a wonderful picture of basically the sciatic nerve as it starts to spread and branch out into the muscle. It's a little, I'm guessing. This is just me speculating. I have no experience with this, but it's a little bit softer. It looks a little more edible, and that's the part of the Gittin Asher that's going to be Asher.
But branches.
Branches. That's exactly what they are. On page 99, if you take a look at the picture, you'll see a wonderful illustration where he really does a great job identifying where are these branches of the sciatic nerve. So it's a little bit softer, and that's the portion that the Torah asers. Meaning that according to this tradition of Rav, the actual nerve itself, the sciatic nerve itself, meaning at its core, right, where it's coming out of the spinal column, so that part over there, the Torah doesn't asser, it's inedible. So the Torah doesn't asser. It doesn't mean we can eat it, but in other words, it's not an isser min haTorah. Now, Ula, on the other hand, says just the opposite. Eitzu, v'haTorah chayav v'nalav. What do you mean? It's inedible. And the Torah still is assering it, and that's part of the isser of the Gittin Asher. Now, presumably over here, now the Gemara does not make this point clearly. And the Rishonim are certainly sitting on this point, which is, we go back to a machlokas that I introduced in the beginning of the Masechta. And you're going to see this machlokas pop up again and again in the seventh parak. Whether or not the Gittin Asher yesh tam begid or ain't tam begid. Does the Gittin Asher have taste or does not have taste? And so that machlokas in of itself is interesting to just try to break down. How can we have a debate in terms of whether it does or does not have taste? But over here, however, you're getting another version. And again, is it exactly the same? Are there maybe some subtle differences between them? That part is open for discussion. But we're getting basically another version of this discussion, this debate. Because what Rav and Ula are debating is, look, which part of the sciatic nerve is the Torah prohibiting? Are we talking about the main nerve as it's shooting off of the spinal cord? That's basically inedible. Right? It's a piece of wood. The Gemara just described it to a piece of wood. So is that what the Torah prohibits? Rav says no. It's a kenokenos. It's the branches that go into the muscle. It's a softer part. That has to be the part that the Torah assers. And what Ula is telling us is that no, his tradition is just the opposite. It's the hard sciatic nerve that's coming right out of the spinal column. That's the one that the Torah prohibits. It's A2. It's a piece of wood. It's barely edible. So, okay, good. That's fine. That's what the Torah prohibits. So, again, it could be that this correlates to the machlokas of yesh tam beginim or ain tam beginim.
And if not, Ula would be midarabonon.
I can only guess. I wouldn't know. Amar Abayi, kavasa de Ula mistabra. Now, Abayi says, I think Ula is making the more salient point over here. The Amar of Sheshet, Amar of Asi, Chutin Shebechel, Vasur, Vein Chayav, and Alehem. So he says, look, let's take two Isurim and put them side by side and make the following comparative study. We know the Torah prohibits chelev. So chelev are the hard fats of the animal. And a good part of today's daf is that we're going to be trying, to the best of our ability, to identify these hard fats of the animal. Some of them are easy and some of them are, at least for me, less than easy to identify. But in terms of the chelev, when the Torah prohibits chelev, so there are some strings that are attached to the chelev, right? Chelev's got strings attached. Over the course of this morning, we're going to take a look at some of the strings attached to the chelev. And are those strings, the Gemara describes them over here as chutin, right? Basically, they're like little threads that are coming off of the hard fats of the animal. So the Torah prohibits which parts? The chelev or the strings coming off the chelev? Now, when it comes to chelev, so we know clearly, it's the actual chelev itself. The strings coming off, again, maybe in a Siddur Rabbanan to eat them, maybe not. We'll try to wrap our heads around that over the course of today, but it's the chelev that's asur. Same thing is true regarding the Gittin Asher. If the Torah is identifying that the Gittin Asher is asur, so which part of the Gittin Asher? Is it the main branch of the Gittin Asher? Or is it the small offshoots that come off the Gittin Asher going into the muscle? So if we're making a comparative study, and if we're assuming that the two halachas correlate one to the other, so just like by chelev, we're talking about the actual chelev itself and not just the threads that come off the chelev. So the same thing is true regarding the Gittin Asher. It's the main branch of the sciatic nerve, not the small little offshoots that come off the sciatic nerve. So this is now Rav Sheish saying, sorry, this is Abaye saying that he really prefers Ula's understanding of what the Torah prohibited as it relates to the Gittin Asher. Continuing the Gemara, we're towards the bottom of Sadi Beis Amud Beis Gufa. Amar Sheshes Amar Ravasi Chutin Shebechel Vasur Vein Chayim Aleihem. The threads of the Chelev are Asur, but there's no Chiyuv in eating them. Meaning, you're not allowed to eat them, but there are no Issur Kares. Okay, as we pointed out numerous times, the consumption of chelev is an issur kares. You eat a non-kosher animal, so that's an issur in the Torah, it's a lav. You eat chelev of a kosher animal, so that is, from a punishment standpoint, a greater prohibition, because the punishment is going to be kares. There are only 36 of them. And again, of the 36, two of them are mitzvahs esse, positive commandments. There are 34 lavim in the Torah. One of the lavim in the Torah is eating chelev, which is, by the way, just as a great general piece of yidiyah to know, whenever the Torah talks about, whenever the Gemara speaks about bringing the Karban Chatas, it always refers to the Chatas, the standard Karban Chatas, as a Chatas Chelev, right? A Chatas brought on account of you eating Chelev. Why does the Gemara always describe the Chatas as a Chatas Chelev? And the answer is actually pretty simple. Because of all the 34 lavim in the Torah that has an Issur Kares, which one are we most probably going to violate? And the answer, of course, is eating a chelev. In other words, we're shechting animals, we're eating animals, and often is the time where you're going to, in other words, back in the day, when they actually try to get the chelev out. Nowadays, we go about it in an easier way. I'll describe that a little bit later on this morning. And when I say nowadays, by the way, it's an old minhag, not to eat the back end of an animal. Well, I'll talk about that a little bit later. But back in the day, when they used to try to get out all the chelev, so often is the time they didn't get out all the chelev, and a person by accident ate chelev. So that's why the Gemara, whenever the Gemara describes chatas, it's called the chatas chelev. Okay, it's a great piece of idea to know, and it's certainly from today's daf, which we're going to struggle a little bit in terms of identifying all the chelev of the animal. Like it's a good thing to walk away with from today's daf.
Is the Gemara saying that the chelev of the kid is part of the gir anashim, therefore we can't have it? Or it's the same as the chelev around the other organs?
What it sounds like is that it's more connected to the gid, and as a safeguard not to eat the gid.
That's not kares.
No, right. I agree with you. So the Gemara's discussion over here is a general discussion regarding chelev of the entire animal. That when the Torah prohibits the chelev, it's specifically the chelev and not the threads that are coming off of the chelev. Let's go back inside Gufa. Again, I'm sorry. Let me start again. So if I have threads coming off of the chelev, so they are going to be usur, but not in issur kares. Meaning the chelev itself is usur kares, but any threads that shoot off of the chelev are not going to be in issur kares. Not allowed to eat it, but not in issur kares. Shibakulya. Now, once we go to the kidney, asurin ve'ein chayavin aleihem. So they're going to be prohibited, but there's no chiyuv for eating the threads coming off of the kidney. Luban kulya. Now, what about the white part of the kidney? Okay. If you want to see a picture of the white part of the kidney, so 77 is the page you turn to. And again, my best guess is that the article also has pictures. Mm-hmm. So we're all going to be good. Okay. The white part of the kidney. If you open up the, if you turn to page 77, you open up the kidney. So over here, he did a wonderful job slicing the kidney in half along its length. And you basically get to see now that there is fat. There is fat now at the entrance of the sinus of the kidney. And then as you go into the sinus itself, so the renal sinus, so you're going to see more fat. Okay, and basically, once again, how far down do you have to dig? Meaning back in the day, they used to eat the kidney. And so how far down do you have to dig in order to excise the fat, the chelev of the kidney? So the Gemara discusses, so the white part of the kidney, so one says that's prohibited and one says permitted. Now the prohibition and permission over here of the Gemara, the debate in the Gemara that's taking place, presumably is talking about only the part that's interior. Now that point's going to become clear as we go on in the Gemara, but it's only talking about the interior portion, right? The white that's in the sinus itself. Rav Yochanan Memar Teitle. The Gemara notes the custom of many of the Amoraim, many. Couple of the Amoraim, Rabbah and Rav Yochanan, so they will go digging. Memar Teit, Rashi says they would dig. So Rabbi Asi Gaimle, Rabbi Asi didn't go digging. Rabbi Asi, when he ate the kidney, so what he would do is he would basically just level off the surface fat, any of the interior fat, he felt was fine. Am Rabbi Kavasa de Rav Asi Mistabra. So Abaye says, once again, I'm going to weigh in on this discussion, on this debate, I think Rabbi Asi is more correct. I don't think you have to go digging into the kidney in order to remove the fat that's in the kidney, that's in the interior. I just think that you level off from the top, and that's fine. Why? The Amar Rabbi Ab, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, as we turn now to the top of Tzadik Gimel, Amud Aleph, Chelev Shabbaster Chofe Osam Mutter, Klal Gadol, a basic rule when it comes to Chelev. Chelev that is covered by the meat of the animal, by the muscle of the animal, is fundamentally mutter. Meaning that, as we're going to be discussing over the course of today's daf, chelev is aser. Good that chelev is aser. What part is considered chelev min haTorah, and what part is not considered chelev min haTorah? Look, as we mentioned numerous times, you eat a piece of meat, so of course there's going to be fat that's in the meat. Fat that is in the meat is not chelev, it's shuman. Okay, so it's a whole different identity. Even the parts that are quote-unquote chelev, not all chelev is the same. And what the Gemara quotes in the name of Shmuel, by the way, a lot of Shmuel today, right? You can, right, if you want a good way to go over today's daf, just like check the number of Shmuels that we have in today's daf. Okay, our resident practitioner, our doctor of the Amoraim, so make sense. So anyway, so the Chelev Shabbaster Chofe Oso Mutter. Any Chelev that is covered by muscle is halachically not going to be prohibited, it's going to be permitted. So that means to say that Amosh al Aksalim Amarachmana Velo Shibatoch Aksalim. The Torah says that which is resting over the flanks is going to be prohibited, but that which is in the flanks, that's going to be permitted. So Achanam Shalak Klayos Amarachmana Velo Shibatoch Klayos. And so we're going to take this argument, says Abayim, and we're going to just simply move it over to the kidney. So when it comes to the kidney, the fat that is on the kidney, that's going to be prohibited. But anything that's interior, anything which is in the cavity of the kidney, so that's going to be permitted. So Abaye says, so based on my general understanding of chelev, I take that idea and I move it to the kidney, and I think that the fats in the kidney are fine, and that accords with the opinion of Rabbi Asi, who did not dig into the kidney and get the chelev from inside the kidney. If you want my best guess, it's a guess. I'm not saying this is so. Even according to Rabbi Yochanan and Rabba, who dig in to get it out, I'm guessing, but it's a guess, right? I said enough times that they don't think it's an issur d'oraisa, probably only as a minhag Yisrael, as a din d'rabbanan, that they're removing it. That's okay. Gufa. We are on Tzadik Gimel Amud Aleph. We're four lines down from the top. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Okay, give yourself another check for today. So Chelev Shabbaster Chofe Oso Mutter. So the I don't know. It's just a repeat of what we saw just a couple lines ago. Only the Chelev that is on the exposed part is going to be mutter, meaning the Chelev that's over the muscle, not under the muscle. So Iniva Amar Rabbi Abba Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel Hai Tarba Detuse Masne Aser. Now the Gemara here turns its attention to fat that is underneath the loins. Okay, I'm going back to page 99, fat that's underneath the loin. So if you're taking a look at a cross-section of the back of the animal, so what you're going to find are layers of fat that are actually underneath the muscle. And so the Gemara over here cites a ruling by Shmuel, which is that this is prohibited and needs to be removed. Now, consider our rule. Our rule is that in order for chelev to be chelev, which is usur, it has to be exposed immediately after you. Immediately after you skin the animal. So the removal of the skin, any chelev that's immediately exposed, that chelev is going to be aser. Anything underneath muscle, and you need to lift muscle in order to uncover the chelev, so that's going to be mutter. Meanwhile, the Gemara quotes the name of Shmuel that if I have fat that's under the loin, so that's going to be aser. That doesn't conform with our rule. So Amar Abaye Behema Bechaya Peruki Mefarka. So Abaye, an explanation of this as well. You're right. When we shech the animal, so correct, we're going to have to lift the muscle in order to arrive at that chelev. However, while the animal's alive, the animal's in motion, especially the back end of the animal. And so while alive, so there are times where the chelev is actually going to be in an exposed position. Amar Rav Yochanan Ana Lav Tavcha Ana V'Lav Par Tavcha Ana. Rav Yochanan first puts out his credentials. I'm not a butcher, nor am I the son of a butcher. Okay, so all of his credentials are right there on the table. So, v'nihiri d'hachi havi, Amri Bei Midrasha Behema Bechaya Perukim Mifraka. But Rav Yochanan says, but look, I spent a lot of time in the Beis Medrash, and I heard this expression being repeated again and again. The animals, while they're alive, they're in constant motion. And so, basically, Rav Yochanan is saying, that answer of Abaye, I heard it all the time in the Beis Medrash, that even though after shechting, yes, you're going to have to lift the muscle in order to arrive at the chalev under the loins, but while the animal was alive, there was points where it was exposed. It was by the skin. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, chalev shal hemses u beisakosas, asurin v'enosh kares. The fact that is over the hemses and beisakosas, we're back to the stomachs of the animal, there are four stomachs of a ruminating animal. Stomachs 2 and 3, and for whatever reasons, the Gemara always gives these two out of order. Hemsis is the third stomach, the basicosis is the second stomach. But anyway, there is a layer of fat resting right over those two. And that is going to be usher. It's sitting right on top of the organ, and it's going to be usher. Once again, if you'd like to see a picture, page 68. Yeah, that's right. So page 68. So you see the hemsis and the basic costus. He does, again, an unbelievable job just pointing them out. And you're going to see a layer of fat resting right over those two. So he says that is Aser Min HaTorah. Not only is it Aser Min HaTorah, Venash Karsh V'zeu Chelev Shala Kerev. You're actually going to see the expression in the Torah. Whenever the Torah describes the Chelev Shala Kerev, so that is that particular layer of fat that we're describing. Again, during the dissection, so we saw him just peel it right off. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Haitarba, de Klibusta, Aser Venash Karis. So, again, another layer of fat. This too is not totally clear exactly what we're describing right now. Rashi describes it as the fat that's under the loins that we described just a moment ago. Haitarba de Klibusta, Aser Venash Karis. Vezeu Chel Sha'al HaKisalim. And this is a reference to the chalev that's on the ksalim, on the loins of the animal. Now the Gemara now is going to take a little bit of a turn. We're now going to be describing various blood vessels. Now blood vessels, again, right? Are they edible? They're hard, but they are muscular. In terms of the blood vessels, so we have another problem, another consideration, and that of course is that the blood vessels had blood running through them. So in order to eat blood vessels, so we have to make sure is that the blood has been removed. Blood is Aser Min HaTorah. And so the removal of blood, how is blood removed? So we're going to be seeing over the course of today's daf. Blood is removed in basically one of two ways. Either the salting of the meat, which is going to be the removal of the blood. A little bit later, we're going to be discussing with some greater detail in terms of the salting process. And then the other way is roasting. You roast the animal, and that also drains it of its blood. So the Gemara now is going to be describing various vessels. So chutin shebiyad, asurin. So if you have major blood vessels running down the, literally, hands of the animal, the front legs of the animal, so they're going to be prohibited. Amar Rav Safra, Moshe, mi'amar rachman alosecho besro. So he says to Moshe over here, not his name, but an expression, it means you're a Talmud Chacham. And what are you suggesting? That you're not allowed to eat meat, the blood vessel is meat. You can eat the vessel. So Amar Rava Moshe mi Amar Rachmana Echol Dama. So okay, I know you're allowed to eat the meat, but you're not allowed to eat the blood. And the blood vessel is, the vessel itself is muscular, but the blood inside of it is usher. So they're both right. So Chatche Omache Afilak Dera Nami Shapir. So what you have to do in order to make sure that the blood is removed from the vessel so that you can actually eat the vessel is that you're going to cut it. The Gemara here does not give a particularly detailed description of how you cut it laterally. Doesn't say. But you cut it and you salt it. And after that, you can even put it in the pot. Now, you're going to see this a lot when we're discussing the salting of an animal. Meaning, if you're roasting the animal, so then there is no need to salt it. There is a minug to salt before we roast it, but that's a minug. According to the strict letter of the law, there's no need to salt it if we're going to roast it. But if we're not going to roast it, if we're going to remove it through salting, so there is a discussion of making sure you salt it properly, because if not, and you put it in a pot, so what's going to end up happening as you're cooking it in the pot is that whatever blood is there is now going to go throughout the pot and prohibit that which is in the pot. So when you salt it, you have to make sure that you remove all the blood from it. What the Gemara over here is describing is that if you go through this process of the blood vessel, of cutting it and salting it is we are so sure that the blood's been removed that you can even put it in a pot and cook it in a pot. Right? Just to better explain that expression of the Gemara. Am Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Reish Maya Ba'amsa by Gerei Rav Ezeu Chelev Shal Adakin. Another area where trabering is necessary is that first Amma the first Amma of intestines running out of the stomach, fourth stomach of the animals, the Keva, the first Amma of intestine coming out of there is has got a layer of fat on it that has to be scraped off. You could see page 74 for a picture of that. So by Gerera, you have to scrape off the fat. Vizel Chelev Shal Adakin, and that's a reference to the Chelev that's on the Dakin. We're back to the back end of the animal. If I have strands of the oketz, so they are going to be prohibited. Chamisha chuta ispe. There are five nerves that are coming off. On page 100, he has a schematic of these nerves that are coming off of the animal. Now, these are all nerves coming off of the spinal cord before the sciatic nerve. Sciatic nerve, obviously, is at the tail end, right? Literally and figuratively. The various chut and the various other nerves that are coming off, so they are asur midrabanan. And the Gemara now gives a description of these five nerve branches that are coming off of the animal. So, chamisha chuta isbe bekafla talsam yimina v'tartam yismola. Three on the right, two on the left. Talsam epasala tre mefasala tata tata. And then the Gemara just gives us other ways of identifying. The three that are on the right divide into two. The two on the left divide into three. Nafkamina hai shalit de'i shalif lehu ad de'chamima mishtafe. So the Gemara says, look, if you try pulling out these nerves right after you shecht the animal, while the shechita was just done, and the meat is still warm, so they just pull right out. The ilo by chetuta basrayhu. However, if you wait some time before taking out these nerves from the back end of the animal, so it's not going to easily pull out, and you're going to have to go digging a little bit. I'm Rabbi Vitimer of Yehuda, chamisha chuta havatas mishum tarba, v'trei mishum dama. The Gemara quotes in the name of Yehuda that there are five chutim. Now again, chutim is just a more generic term. So here we're going to be describing a little bit of blood vessels, a little bit of threads of fat. So five of them have to be removed. Three of them have to be removed because of the prohibition of chelev. Two of them have to be removed because of the prohibition of blood. The tachle udekafle udekulyasa mishum tarba. The threads that come off of the spleen, the loins, and the kidneys, so those are tarba issues, that's chelev. The yada udalua, the mishum dama. The blood vessels of the front leg, which we described earlier, and there's one that also runs through the cheek of the animal. So that is a dam consideration. L'may nafkamina, hani de mishum dama, imechatech lu'malchul hu shabidami. Now the Gemara says, now you have to know when you're pulling threads out, these various threads, you have to know whether or not it is a blood consideration or a fat consideration. If it's a chelev consideration, you pull it out and you discard it and there's nothing to do with it. Although that's not true. You're allowed to get hana'a from chelev. So you could use it for fuel and illumination. But the ones that are just simply blood vessels and have to be pulled out because of the blood vessels, so that is just simply a blood consideration. Once you extract the blood by cutting it open and salting it, so then you can go ahead and eat it. On page 101, he has a wonderful picture of the blood vessel that's running through the tongue that was just described. Okay. Amrav Kana Vitimer Rav Yehuda Chamisha Karmi Havu. There are membranes that are going to be prohibited. Talsam Mishum Tarba V'Trei Mishum Dama. Now, in terms of the membranes, a number of them, three to be specific, are an issue of chelev. Two are an issue of blood. The tachle de kafle de kol yasa mishum tarba. The membranes of the spleen and the loins and the kidneys, so that is a chelev consideration. Chelev consideration, as the Gemara is about to point out, that means you have to remove the membrane and done. De bei de mukre mishum dama. The membranes that are around the testicle and around the brain, So that is dam, meaning those membranes have a high content of blood vessels. Now, Rav Yehuda Bar Hoshaya have a kakalaf leitechla lelevi, b'rei de Rav Huna barchia. Gemara tells the following episode. Rav Yehuda Bar Hoshaya was peeling the spleen for Levi, and Levi, the son of Rav Huna, the son of Chia, and Havaka Gaim Le Me'ila. Now, when removing the membrane of the spleen, so he only removed the membrane of the upper portion of the spleen. If you take a look over here at, where's our spleen? Here we go. If you take a look at page 100, so you're going to see now the spleen of a cow, right? The one corner, the blood vessels of the spleen enter, and the entire spleen is covered with a thin layer of fat. Okay. And so now, when Rav Yehuda was preparing the spleen for Levi, so he only removed the membranes from the thicker upper portion of the spleen, not the thinner portion. Amarle chus bei tfei. Now, when Levi saw this, Levi gave clear instructions. No, don't stop there. Right, chus, right, go down. Meaning, you got to remove the membrane from the entire spleen. Ase avua, ashkeche. So, his father comes in, and he says, Amarle hachi amar avua diimech. You know, your mother's father, your maternal grandfather said, Mishum derav, uman rav yirmiya ba'aba lo asr Torah el shal adad bavad. So he says that, you know, the Torah only ushered the part of the membrane that is on the thicker part of the spleen, not the thinner part of the spleen. So the Gemara now points out a statement by Rav Hamnuna that the membrane that's on the spleen is prohibited, but there is no chiyuv for eating it. Now, so the Gemara says, now, what are we talking about over here? If we're talking about the one that's on the thicker part of the spleen, the dad of the spleen, so what are you telling me that it's not usser? The ella de kule. It must be that we're describing the membrane that's surrounding the entire spleen. So I'm going to let you tanya. So he says, okay, look, you have a brisa, good. I would have stopped just by peeling off the membrane of the upper portion of the thicker portion of the spleen, but if you're telling me that I've got to peel it all away, okay, so I'll do so. Kufam Rav Hamnuna Tana Krum Shal Atchol Aser Vein Chayev Alav Krum Shal Gabi Kulya Aser Vein Chayev Alav. So the Gemara now is talking about various membranes that are on the spleen, so it has to be removed in its entirety, like we just described. The membrane that's over the kidney, so the also has to be removed, but there's no chiyu for eating that membrane. So the Gemara says, okay, but I'm going to quote another brisa. The Gemara doesn't even bother quoting the entire brisa. But, you know, it's the same brisa, but with the ending, with the punctuation of, you aren't going to be chayiv if you eat the membranes. So, t'chol t'chol lo kasha akeneged adad, hashlo keneged adad. So the Gemara says, look, we already talked about the spleen, and we are figuratively and literally dissecting the spleen. Meaning, when it comes to the spleen, so we already pointed out there's a thick part of the spleen and a thin part of the spleen. The thick part of the spleen, so that is, that membrane that's covering it is an issur d'oraisa. The thinner part of the spleen, it's a din d'rabbanan to remove that membrane. So that is a easy way to resolve the discrepancy of the two brises regarding the spleen. What about the kidney? So the keneged adad. Kulya kulya namilokasha habila habitasa. So the Gemara says, as far as the kidney is concerned, again, that we can go back to what we said earlier, the portion of the chalev that's exposed, right, that's outside of the kidney, that's going to be aser, and an issur d'oraisa for consuming that chalev. But the portion that's interior, like we discussed earlier this morning, so that is not aser min haTorah. And again, various opinions amongst the Amoraim whether that has to be excavated and removed. Bei'i, chashilta. Gemara now turns its attention to the testicles of an animal, apparently a delicacy back in the day. I don't know why it's not popular anymore. Still is, right? Just not here, not right. I'm so American. I'm so American, right? But not here. Now, the Gemara's discussion over here is as follows: the testicle, obviously a male animal that was shechted, and its testicles were not totally connected to the animal. And this goes back to a discussion that we had much earlier in the Masechta. And it's really, it's a fun discussion. Okay, right, and not practical in this particular regard, but a fun discussion, and that is the following. We know that when you shecht an animal, so the shechting of the animal is what permits the animal. Any part of the animal that is detached from the animal while the animal is alive is Eivor Menachai. What about interior organs that are no longer attached to the animal? So for example, if let's say the trachea was cut and the lungs are no longer connected to the animal, so then those lungs are considered Eivor Menachai. Now by an animal, it's right, that's a little bit tricky because you have to shecht both the trachea and the esophagus, but let's say by a bird, for example, where the lungs are detached from the animal. I know the animal can't live without that attachment, but just at least in theory, in principle. So the lungs are attached to the animal, and now what happens is, I'm sorry, the lungs are detached, and then you shecht the animal, and the lungs are considered Eivor Menachai. The Gemara earlier had such a wonderful discussion about, is it possible to make the argument that maybe the intestines of an animal, even though we're allowed to eat them, but the Goyim are not allowed to eat them, because our death is going to be decided by Shechita. Their death is going to be decided by when the animal stops convulsing. So it could very well be that they're not allowed to eat the intestines of an animal because it's Eivor Menachai. The Gemara went back and forth on that topic. But again, the basic idea is that any organ of the animal that's detached from the animal before Shechita is Eivor Menachai. The Gemara's discussion over here is very pinpoint in terms of the testicles of the animal, where they are hanging, but hanging on by a thread, right? Almost literally, I mean. They're hanging on by a thread. So Rav Ami Rav Asi Chad Asar Bechad Shari. Manda Asar. So Manda Asar. Midalo Kabaryan. Hani Eivor Menachai Ninu. So he says, look, once the testicles are no longer really attached to the animal, and its cord is basically snapped, and even though there is some thread-like connection, but basically it's not going to regenerate, and therefore it is Eivor Menachai. And Ninu. And Mandashari Middalo Kamisarchan Hani Chiyusa Isbahu. And the counter argument is, well, are they decomposing? Are they decaying? And the answer is no. By virtue of the fact that they're not there's no decomposition on those testicles, so that is proof positive that they're still connected to the animal, and therefore it is not Eivor Menachai. Now the Gemara goes over the counter arguments. Now the counter argument is, oh yeah, I agree with you, there's no decomposition, but that's just simply because they're protected in the sac. But that doesn't mean that they are connected to the animal, they're disconnected. And the counter argument of why aren't they going to regenerate? Because he agrees they're not going to regenerate. But his counter argument to that is that they're simply not going to regenerate because they are right now in a weakened condition. Right? When an animal is weak, you don't say it's Eivor Menachai. These testicles are still connected to the animal, but they're just simply in a weakened state.
What's the difference between Eivor and Medundu?
Right. Okay. Agreed. I'll just go back to the Gemara that says you can't compare one trefa to another trefa. Okay. Amli Rav Yochanan le Rav Shemen bar Abba hani be chashilta shayin va'ad lo techo mishum va'al titosh taros imecha. So the Gemara issues a ruling. Rav Yochanan says to Rav Shemen bar Abba, look, these testicles that were not attached well to the animal. So really, fundamentally, I think they're mutter. I do not think it's Eivor Menachai. However, you have a mesorah not to eat them. Al titosh taros imecha. So if you have a mesorah not to eat them, so don't eat them. I'm a member of Ashi Hanibe, Digad Yatasin Yom and Sharyan below Klipa, Mikan Ve'elech, I Azran Asurvi, Ilo Azran Sharyan. Testicles of a goat. If it is a baby goat, so then you can eat the testicles and you don't need to remove the membrane. You remember some time ago back in the third parak of the Masech that we talked about the double membrane that surrounds the testicle. The membrane of the testicle has a lot of blood vessels, so that membrane has to be removed. But that's only when there is a potency in those testicles. If it's a young goat, a young kid, right? Kid over here meaning goat, that was shechted, and the testicles are immature, physically immature. So then you don't need to peel away the membrane. However, once they have a potency potential, so then they have to be peeled. And And the Gemara over here gives a very simple telltale way to identify whether they are potent or whether they are not potent. If you see that the membrane that's covering these testicles now have a vascular system, right, there are blood vessels running through the membrane, so that means now that there is a potential potency to those testicles, and therefore you have to peel away the membrane. Okay, let's pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up in terms of more halachas regarding salting and the removal of blood. Okay, bring back the book one more time tomorrow.